Hare Krishna. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 17. We're doing text number 9 and 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the Personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, translator and commentator, because if we didn't have that, we wouldn't understand anything from the Bhagavatam. By rendering service unto the pure by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, what happens? All that's troublesome in the heart is almost completely destroyed. And then what happens? Loving service unto the Personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as? And what does irrevocable fact mean? And from now on, just to clarify, we are primarily talking to the students today, the younger ones, although everyone is a student. Hare Krishna. So text number 9, we'll chant responsively. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Dharmya Esha Tava Prashno. Do you know what Prashna means? Prashna. Question. Thank you, Gurunga. Question. So there's a question today. Dharma Esha Tava Prashno. Naishreyasa Karo Nrinam. Vanashrama Charavatam. Vanashrama Charavatam. Tam Udava Nibodhame. Tam Udava Nibodhame. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Dharmya Esha Tava Prashno. Nashreyasa Karo Nrinam. Varnashrama Charavatam. Tam Udhava Nibodhame. Please chant. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Dharma Esha Tava Prashno. Naishreyasya Nibodhinam. Tamudavani Bodhame.
Dharma Esha Tava Prashna.
Dharma Esha Tava Prashna.
Shreyasya Karo Dinam.
Shreyasya Nibodham.
Varnashrama Charavatam.
Varnashrama Charavatam. Tamudavani Bodhame. Dharma Esha Tava Prashno. Naishreyasya Karo Nrinam. Varnashrama Charavatam. Tam Udhava Nibodhame. Students? Prashno. Naishreyasya Karo Nrinam. Varnashrama Charavatam.
tam udava nibodhame. Vacha dharma esha tava prashno. Nashreyasya karoninam. Varnashrama charavatam. Tam udava nibodhame. Shri Bhagavan uvacha. Dharmya esha tava prashno. Naishreyasya karominam. Varnashrama charavatam. Tam udava nibodhame. Shri Bhagavan uvacha. Dharma esha tava prashno. Naishreyasya karoninam. Varnashrama charavatam. Tam udava nibodhame. Shri Bhagavan uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Dharmya, faithful to religious principles. Esha, this. Tava, your. Prashna, question. Naishreyasya kara, the cause of pure devotional service. Nrinam, for ordinary human beings. Varna ashrama, the Varna ashrama system. Acharya Vatam, for those who faithfully follow. Tam, those highest religious principles. Uddhava, my dear Uddhava. Nibodha, please learn. May, from me. So Keshava Prabhu, can we go back up to the Sanskrit verse, please? Okay, so who can remember some of the translations of the words from that verse? Okay, Gauranga, you're going to start it, but you're not going to say them all, okay? So what's your first one?
Dharmya.
Dharmya, and what does that mean?
Faithful
to the religious principles. Very good. Yes, you remember one?
May
from me. Good. Someone else? Something else? Gopal?
Uddhava.
Good, that's okay. That's good. You're paying attention. Someone else? Can you remember Prashna? Don't what Gauranga said earlier? Okay, Prashna?
Question.
Gaurahari. Okay, good. Yes, Prabhu?
Prashna.
And what was that?
Question.
Good, good, very good. How about Nashreyasya Karo? Remember that one? That's kind of the crux of the issue here. Nashreyasya karo. Anyone? Older or younger? Okay, wait a minute. All right. Yes, Prabhu?
Pure devotional service.
It leads to pure devotional service. Okay, so here's the translation. So pay attention to the translation, and the purport is not very long, and you might get a few questions at the end, okay? So you're paying attention? Here's the translation. By Srila Prabhupada's disciples. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, your question, prashna, is faithful to religious principles. What was religious principles? Faithful dharma. Good, okay. My dear Uddhava, your question is faithful to religious principles and thus gives rise to the highest perfection of life, pure devotional service. For both ordinary human beings and the followers of the Varnashrama system. Now please learn from me those supreme religious principles. So what did the Supreme Personality of Godhead just say there? What did he say in your own words? Gauranga?
That the question is all the religious principles
Okay, that Uddhava's question is following religious principles, and what did he say about the question? What did he say particularly about the question? In other words, was it a dumb question? Did he ask how many windows are there in the Empire State Building? No. So what was Uddhava's question? Not specifically. What was it? A good question? And who gets benefited by the question that he asked? Just one or two people who heard it? You have to say it louder, because
everyone
gets benefit from his question. So he's and actually Uddhava's question was about the Varnashram system and how is it going to propagate and etc. etc. Here's what they say in the purport. The word Naishreyasya Kara indicates that which awards the highest perfection of life, Krishna consciousness, which the Lord is explaining to Sri Uddhava. When considering religious principles, ordinary human beings remain bogged down in sectarian, mundane considerations. I'm going to say that again. When considering religious principles, ordinary human beings remain bogged down in sectarian, mundane consideration. The process that awards the highest perfection of life should be considered the most auspicious for human beings. The Varnashram system is the most scientific presentation of religiosity on earth. And those who are most perfect in that system come to the point of Krishna consciousness, or dedicating everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Om Aginati Manandasya Jinanjana Salakaya Chaksu Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we have two verses today. First, we'll just talk a little bit about this one, and then we'll go on to text number 10. So there was a sentence in this purport. I'm going to repeat it, and I'm going to ask you to explain it in your own words, okay? So pay attention. Here's the word. Here's the sentence. When considering religious principles, ordinary human beings remain bogged down in sectarian, mundane considerations. So that's a big sentence with a lot of things going on. So I'm going to ask some of the girls from the older class if they wouldn't mind helping us help us understand that sentence. Okay? Can you explain that sentence in your own words? Maybe as a group, if you need to consult with one another. What does that mean? That ordinary people get bogged down in mundane, sectarian religious principles. Any thoughts on that? Karuna, if you'll forgive me for picking on you, but any thoughts? Somebody? Radhe, any thoughts on that? Okay, how about this? Sectarian religious principles, what does that mean? Sectarian religious principles. Sham, can you help us with that? Sham Kishore, can you help us? Sectarian religious principles. They're not universal. Good. They're dependent on specific processes. Okay. Some other thoughts? Sectarian religious principles.
Mundane designations.
What does that mean? And we can say that, but what does mundane designation mean? Sometimes we read these words and we don't realize that they're not resonating with what we're understanding. So what does mundane conceptions mean?
It's really not a spiritual process.
Okay, not a spiritual process. Gauranga, thank you. Just say one more time. Okay, so what's an example of a mundane consideration? I have one. Does anyone else have one? I'm a woman. Okay, now does that help you? What's another mundane consideration? I have another one. I'm from America. Okay, what's another mundane consideration? I'm a Catholic. I'm a Catholic, and you have to come to my church. Now, could we be thinking of that you have to come to ISKCON of Alachua too? You know, it's a conception. We think sometimes they have mundane considerations, But do we have mundane considerations, Pran Govinda Prabhu? Or what were you?
I was thinking, like Prabhupada said, the reality is that which distinguishes illusion for the welfare of all beings. Mm. So that secular means it's connected with illusion, not reality of absolute.
Okay, thank you. So hear this sentence once again. When considering religious principles, ordinary human beings remain bogged down. What does bogged down mean? What's the conception you get from the word bogged down? Covered, overwhelmed, entrapped, you know, down, stuck. Thank you. Thanks. Stuck. They get stuck in sectarian religious principles, thinking, this is my church, and everyone who goes to this church is good, and people who don't go to this church aren't good, and they're going to hell because they don't go to my church. Even if my church and that other church is the same church. Anyway, it's a mundane conception. And we, as great Vaishnava devotees, have to realize that we might fall into those categories also in different terms, and we have to realize, oh, these religious principles that Krishna is teaching, that I'm a servant of God, I'm not my body, Krishna loves me, it also applies to the other person and the other person, and even the people I don't like, it applies to them too. And even the people who might be doing bad things, it applies to them. Even Kamsa. Like, we don't have a high opinion of Kamsa usually, right? Even Kamsa, he was a pure soul, a pure spirit soul, a pure devotee of Krishna in his original condition. Okay, sorry to get a little distracted by that. But anyway, so one of the points made in this purport is that this Varnashrama system, which we'll talk about in the next verse, is a higher principle because the principle is that the whole society is organized in a way to help people make progress in spiritual life. Like, if you look at society today, how is it organized? It's not organized very well. And the whole motivation of society is, let me make some money, let me enjoy, let me, you know, this is what I want, so this is good. Let me make some profit and get some fame and some adoration, and that's good. And anyone else who gets in my way, they're a problem for me, and I'll have to get rid of them somehow or other. Okay, here's what text 10 is. I'll go through it really quick. But don't forget to pay attention, okay? Text 10. Ado, that's another infamous word. Ado means in the beginning. Ado krita yuge varno nrinam hamsa iti smrita krita kritya praja jatya tasmat krita yugam vidu. And the translation is, in the beginning. When was that? Okay. In the beginning, in Satya Yuga, there is only one social class called Hamsa, to which all human beings belong. In that age, all the people are unalloyed devotees of the Lord from birth. And thus, learned scholars call this first age Krita Yuga, or the age in which all religious duties are perfectly fulfilled. So which Yuga is the Lord referring to here? Satya Yuga. How many yugas are there altogether? Can you list them? Can somebody say all four of them besides Gauranga? Can you list a couple of them? Or one of them? One other one besides Satya Yuga? Radhe? Kali Yuga, okay. Gopal? Okay. That's it. And that's the order that they're coming in, too. Good. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. So that it's the Vedic culture doesn't have a simplistic explanation for creation, okay? It's a very elaborate and detailed explanation of creation. But suffice it to say, these four yugas, they're just a slight measurement of time, of how time passes. Satya Yuga. This yuga here is the first yuga. where everyone is inclined to what? It was in the verse. Well, everyone in Satya Yuga is inclined to what? If you're mentioning it, I can't hear it loud, so I have to say it. Not Gauranga. Devotional service, yeah. They're all inclined to pure, they're all pure devotion. They're all pure devotees right from birth. So you can imagine how the atmosphere is very conducive for spiritual knowledge. In fact, everyone's inclined to spiritual realization. They're not distracted at all. So that's Satya Yuga. That yuga just happens to last 1,728,000,000 years.
1,700,000,000
Shows what I know. I can't even read it. That's how long it is. Yeah, you're right. 1,728,000. Sorry, I said the wrong. I had too many zeros. Okay, it's a long time. That's Satya Yuga. And everyone in Satya Yuga, they make progress. And they go from Satya Yuga, they go progressively where? Back to Godhead. But there are some people who don't quite make it. Then that comes to, they get recycled into the next yuga down. Treta Yuga. Treta Yuga lasts a long time too. 1,296,000 years. Then comes Dwapara Yuga, 846,000 years. And then comes Kali Yuga, 432,000 years, of which only around 5,000 have passed in Kali Yuga, 5,000 and a few odd numbers. Not very long. And yet we can see how society has gotten completely derailed from trying to make spiritual progress. And in fact, trying to make spiritual progress in Kali Yuga is very, very difficult because the whole atmosphere is turned against you. Okay, I'm going to read the purport before I get too forgetful of this verse here. But anyway, the point is that there's a lot of time in the creation of the world. We've been here a long time in this material world. But there is a process of getting out. So the process that the Lord established is this Varnashram Dharma system. And we'll read a little bit about it, and then we'll talk about how one can do that in Kali Yuga, or if one can even do it in Kali Yuga. Okay, purport. Ready for the purport? You're going to listen? It is understood from this verse that the supreme religious principle is unalloyed surrender to the supreme personality of Godhead. In Satya Yuga, there is no influence of the lower modes of nature, and therefore all human beings belong to the highest order called Hamsa. What's the highest order of human beings in the Satya Yuga? What does Hamsa mean? Swan-like. They're swan-like people. In which one comes under the direct supervision of the personality of Godhead. In the modern age, people are crying out for social equality, but unless all human beings are situated in the mode of goodness, which is the position of purity and unalloyed devotion, social equality is not possible. As the lower modes of nature become prominent, secondary religious principles arise by which people may gradually be elevated to the pure stage of unalloyed surrender to God. In Satya Yuga, there is no inferior human beings, and thus there is no need for secondary religious principles. So try to stay fixed while there's a little motion going on. Can anyone explain what secondary religious principles might be? What could be secondary religious principles? We might need a little help here. Secondary religious principles as opposed to primary. Gauranga? Making a deity dress? Is that what you said? That's a good answer, but it's not the correct one for this particular point. Secondary religious principles refers to more like mundane things like... Yes? Oh, good idea. Demigod worship. Okay. I'll accept that. I don't know. But actually what we're referring to more is like feeding the poor, you know, helping the sick. They're good things. They're good things, but they're not focused in on one's loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or arousing the other person, or awakening the other person to understand that they're not their body, they're a servant of God, and their primary duty is to render loving service to God. So in other words, you just try to be helpful in, you know, helpful so that you have enough clothes, they have enough clothing, the poor, helping in disasters. It's good, but it doesn't get one out of the material world. In fact, it does bind one. Okay, so in such a yuga, there are no inferior human beings, and there is no need of secondary religious principles. Everyone directly takes to unalloyed service of the Lord, fulfilling perfectly all religious obligations. In Sanskrit, one who perfectly executes all duties is called Krita Kritya, as mentioned in this verse. Therefore, such a yuga is called Krita Yuga, or the age of perfect religious action. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the word Adao, in the beginning, refers to the moment of universal creation. In other words, the Varnashram system is not a recent concoction, but naturally arises at the time of creation, and should therefore be accepted by all intelligent human beings. So this Satya Yuga, being the perfect, practically perfect time for executing devotional service, because everyone there is totally into it and fixed, and therefore with that group momentum, there's a synergy there, so that everyone is fixed on going back to Godhead. So here's my question. What about us in Kali Yuga? Is there any hope? Is there any hope for a person in Kali Yuga to have that same opportunity? Is it hopeless? Are we left without a rudder on our ship? Ragatmika ji?
This is the age where Lord Chaitanya appeared.
Aha! Can you tell us a little bit about that? What's the benefit of being in the age where Lord Chaitanya appeared?
Even though it's the most fallen age and we're the most fallen candidates, Lord Chaitanya has given the easiest process by which we can attain the highest destination.
You mean we don't have to sit and do meditation and do Ashtanga yoga and control our breathing and do austerities and sit surrounded by fire?
No, that's not the process for this age.
Oh. So what?
We just have to sit and chant the Hare Krishna mantra.
Oh.
And give the Hare Krishna mantra to others.
Oh. That's so accessible. Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. It's so accessible because these processes, when you read these processes and understand the processes of self-realization in previous ages, to us, they're unattainably difficult. They're unattainable. There's no way that we could perform those processes or austerities in this age. In fact, as you notice, it's even difficult to sit quietly for 20 or 30 minutes. What to speak of if we had to pay attention and meditate and control our breath and try to realize and see the Supreme Personality of Godhead just by our mental process. But Lord Chaitanya is so kind that he's come to give us this Hare Krishna mantra that easily, very easily, anyone can take to it and make tons of spiritual progress. What to speak of Srila Prabhupada establishing the system of deity worship so that we have the form of the Lord to fix our mind on. So here's the question then. So compared to the process of self-realization in Satya Yuga and all the other yugas, Treta, Dwapara, and this process that we have in Kali Yuga, then can we see that there's... In order to get out of the material world, one really has to apply oneself. Even though the process is very simple, we still have to apply ourselves. Because if we don't apply ourselves, we'll certainly make some progress. But then there'll be a lot more to go. And then one perhaps might not make it all the way back to Godhead in one life, which is a long journey. And then as the Kali Yuga progresses, one comes back in different, more difficult external situations. So Srila Prabhupada encouraged us over and over and over again, take advantage of the process that we have now. Take advantage of the chanting of Hare Krishna and reading his books. Take advantage of it. Make the best use of this bad bargain that we have, been born in Kali Yuga. And make the most progress that you can in this very, very in this life. And it is possible. One should become encouraged that it is possible to reach those highest levels of devotional service by this simple process of chanting Hare Krishna. So now, Mike, do you have any questions? Students? Or comments? Any thoughts on that? Trivik Ram Prabhu, he's our honorary Bana student for the day.
The process of Varnashram is usually established in the second yuga, in Treta Yuga. But here it's stated it's established at the beginning of creation.
It says that in Bhagavad Gita too, established in the beginning of creation.
Yeah, but usually after the end of Satyuga, then the human beings need reorganizing, and then the Varnashram usually establish.
Thanks. So, Tamahar Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, thank you. I was thinking of some examples of how mundane sectarian considerations and how this can apply a little closer to home to us even. Well, first of all, even the Varnashram system can be subject to this degradation of mundane considerations, and in fact it evolved into what we know as the caste system, mm-hmm. where rather than by quality and by work, one's designation is by birth, which is completely against Krishna's instructions and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example, so that we see that, for instance, often in India, they'll say that Westerners should not be able to go into the Jagannath temple, mm-hmm. or shouldn't be able to take initiation or things like that. And I was thinking, and even in terms of ourselves, because we always feel ourselves very superior, that we have to be careful that, like sometimes you might see, I haven't seen this so much in Alachua, but other places where I travel, like the consideration that I favor those people who are initiated by my guru and not by other gurus and things like that. Yeah. So that's actually a material consideration.
Totally, yeah. Thank you, it's a good point. Thank you. And if one doesn't become aware of those conceptions, then actually we become victimized by it also. So very good points. Any other questions or comments? Marumati Prabhu?
Just further, I'd like to hear from you further on this topic, which Tamahar Prabhu mentioned, and you also mentioned, in regards to the sectarianism within ourselves as devotees. You know, we go out and distribute books, or we talk to people, and we have that conditioning, thinking that we as devotees, Hare Krishna devotees, or we as ISKCON members compared to other Gaudiya institutions, or any other religious institutions, our tendency is to think that way. I'd like to hear maybe a little bit more about how, in some practical ways, that we don't have, we can purify with that mentality, be proud of what we have, what Prabhupada has given us, and to understand it is, I guess I'm sectarian, it is the highest, how to not really understand, and you know, not be sectarian. The philosophy is the highest, and anyway, if you could say something more.
It's a a great topic. It's a very broad topic. It's a very wide topic. And it's a question of conditioning and layers, the layers of conditioning. Just like when one takes to the process of Krishna consciousness, very often, it characteristically, when one begins to take to Krishna consciousness, and there's a sense of enthusiasm so great that helps one continue on, and one thinks, yeah, I've got it, I understand, I'm going to make a lot of progress. In fact, I'm pretty advanced already. In fact, I can see that within a few years, I'm going to be more advanced than anybody else in this temple here. And then it's a question. And then, as one takes to the process of Krishna consciousness, the heart becomes cleansed. So, what does that mean? That covering, those misconceptions, they become gradually dissolved. And one of those misconceptions is, or one of many of those misconceptions, is that I'm important, I'm advanced, I'm better than others, I'm this, I'm that, you know? And putting oneself in a position of false prestige, you know? So that, it's not a... We can make some rules and regulations and this and that, but it's not a question of imposing rules and regulations. It's a question of cleansing the heart and the consciousness. And as that heart, as our heart and our consciousness is cleansed, then our understanding of who we really are and who everyone else is in relation to the Lord becomes more prominent. So sometimes when people say, oh, look at, hope I'm not getting too distracted here, but we're not providing facilities for devotees who need housing and this and that or whatever. All of that will come later. It'll come gradually as we, as a group, make more and more progress and understand who we really are. So that wasn't a very clear answer to your comment. So I'm going to open it up to other comments. Okay. Prang Govinda Prabhu? Maybe Tamaharpa.
Not related to that, but...
Okay, good.
But Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the glory of Kali Yuga, that this highest ecstasy that living entity can ever experience is the Braja Prem, was never available in Satya Yuga. The Krishna Prem was in a covered condition, and then as it progressed to Dwapara, then Vyas Dev came, then it started budding form, and the four Acharya started blooming, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it fully blossom. So we are very fortunate in a sense that, as Mother Agatmika mentioned, that Lord Chaitanya came, because without Lord Chaitanya nobody could give. So Satya Yuga is very wonderful, yes. But if you ask me a question, that would you be in Satya Yuga with no problem, or you want to be in Kali Yuga with trouble, but you will have a Krishna plan? I choose Kali Yuga. This is just my opinion.
Jai. Tomahar Prabhu? Thank you.
Well, returning to the question of sectarianism, Prabhupada often said this is not a sectarian movement. I mean, there's many, many, many quotes and statements and lectures when he talked about this. And he was very clear on this. And he said, we're not a sectarian movement. He said, because this is about, you know, the nature of the soul, Sanatana Dharma. In other words, we are engaging ourselves in the real spiritual life of the jiva. And it's not based on designations. It's only based upon finding the pure essence of our loving devotional relationship with Krishna. So in that way, it's not sectarian. Now, of course, we have to be careful that we don't become sectarian or that we don't make undue designations. But then I was also thinking about, but in practical terms, as Madhumati was saying, that sometimes it's difficult because we think, well, we do have the highest truth. Therefore, you know, how do we relate to others? Obviously, we have to relate to others with great compassion and understanding, and never be arrogant. We have to keep that humble attitude. You know, in other words, it's only by the grace of Prabhupada and a few short years ago that we weren't in the same fallen condition. Well, we're still in a fallen condition, but a much more fallen condition. At least we're on the right path. And then I was thinking the other thing sometimes about other groups and this and that. There's another consideration which I think is not mundane, is that we also sometimes have to be very careful to protect Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's movement. So sometimes we may not be as totally open to every other group if they pose some, you know, problem or threat or issue like that. So there's a lot of considerations here, but in our hearts we shouldn't, you know, we should understand that people are Vaishnavas or that they're some type of devotees, and we should appreciate that. At the same time, sometimes practically we have to act in such a way just to protect our movement.
Thank you. Dhammaraj Prabhu?
In Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book, Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precept, there's one statement that he made there where he criticized the Vaishnavas. That's a pretty scary point to even think about. That he criticized the Vaishnavas because they were criticizing the people of other religion that can't understand the common nature of the soul. So that point is there. It, of course, it's more elaborately explained. But it's a very difficult topic for to even conceive.
Yeah. No, yeah. Thanks. From the comments and Pran Govinda's comments and all your comments, so we can see that the opportunity that we have is great, and the work that we have ahead of us is also great. We can't take it casually, just like Dhruva Maharaj said on Saturday. If we take it casually, then we'll become a casualty. That was a great statement. Okay, thank you for your attention. Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada.